Excited to come to church.
Amen.
Except when I'm preaching, I'm a whole lot more nervous. I've I've preached probably 100 times in my whole life, and you know, between here and Honduras and places, I'm just as nervous today as I was the first day I ever preached. So
amen.
I pray that I never lose that.
That's right.
It's a very sacred place to step behind here and speaking to the most precious thing on this earth, and that is the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to have you to take your Bibles, if you have them, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 3 through 5. She'll have it on the multimedia as well.
Amen.
Did you just say amen when you got it?
Amen.
For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations... and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And I want to read one quote. It says, "Remember, we are not on a picnic. We are in a battlefield. Many people just think that when they become a Christian, that they'll all they need to do, and that settles it forever. If you are a Christian, then everything is going to come easy. Don't ever get that in your head.
That's right.
For I become a Christian to fight the good fight of faith. I become a Christian to get in the battle lines. We are Christian soldiers, and we got to be trained and brought up and know all the techniques of the enemy and to know how to fortify, know how to fight the fight. We can only do that as the Holy Spirit will reveal it to us. We cannot take some other nation tells us when we go to war, some of their ideas, but we got to get our own ideas the way the Holy Spirit would direct us, and what ideas He gives us, because He is the commanding chief of the army of the Christians." You say amen?
Amen, that's right.
Let's pray. Father, we come to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Father, I ask You to help me to get myself out of the way. Lord, You take absolute preeminence of this service. Lord, You know every heart that is here. Lord, You know the needs of each one. God, I don't know them, but You are very mindful. Lord, I ask You to meet every need among us, Lord. May we take every thought, everything that may be a hindrance to the service, and cast that to the side, and be in one mind and one accord this morning.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Now, the title of the service doesn't necessarily have to do, well, it doesn't have anything to do with today's activities, but what the Lord has laid on my heart very heavily is a fortified house. A fortified house. And a fortify means to protect or strengthen against the attack, to surround or provide with defensive military works. You know, it's something, when you're ever going to have a fortification of a post, there are things that you've got to do in order to keep that enemy from coming in. Is that right? You know, you've got to make sure you've got to have plenty of food, you've got to have plenty of water, all these different things. And one of the enemy, he's learned very well, one of the best things you can do if you have somebody pinned up in a fortification is you can starve them out. That's the first thing they'll do is cut off that food supply chain, and eventually they'll give up. But see, we have been called to have a fortification, and in this fortification, we must protect our homes, our church, and most of all, our hearts from the enemy. Is that right?
Yeah, man.
We got an enemy that's going to fight us every day. Get this out of my way here. We got an enemy that's going to fight us every day. And we in the home, in the workplace, in the church, you've got an enemy.
Yeah.
And his tactic is the greatest way that he can cause a division, whether it be a workplace, a home, or is a church, is cause divisions. Is that right? Jesus said a house that is divided cannot stand. You take a home where you've got a husband and a wife that are working together and harmony with one another, and they recognize their position. Amen? A lot of the women today don't like to hear that anymore. But the Scripture is very clear that the man is the head of the household. Is that right?
That's right.
That's what the Scripture says. And He says that, you know, when that man will be in his position, in the position he's called to be, he'll set things in order. He will protect her in such a way she will want to serve him. Is that right, sisters?
Right.
She'll want to serve him. You imagine me come walking in and say, "Where's my beans and my potatoes?" You know, walking in the door, and my little wife said, you better take a step out and go to praying, little man. My wife knows I like beans and potatoes. I don't get them very often anymore because it messes me up a little bit, but that's probably my favorite food is beans and potatoes. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We're a bunch of country folks here. Let's just go ahead and just be ourselves, amen? She knows that's what I like, but she usually makes those on a special occasion because that's what makes me happy. And she knows that's what makes me happy. But you know, it's not that I put such a fear in her and all these different things as, you know, you cook beans and potatoes or it's over, little lady. I want my beans and potatoes. Ain't nothing like that. But see, I conduct myself as a husband in such a way that I want to meet every need for her in such a way she wants to make me happy. She wants to please me. I'm going to ask you something. How well does the Lord treat us?
Yeah.
I'm telling you what, He meets every single need that we have need of, even when we don't deserve it. Amen. You know, there's sometimes that I may go hours and don't even think about it because I'm so consumed with work and different things, but He'll drop right there, drop His presence in the room, and I'll say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for Your presence.
Yes.
And every time He comes, friends, it melts my heart. Yeah. I remember Brother Ed Biscoe one time in a testimony, he said, talking about, he was a brother from Canada, and he was in the vehicle with Brother Brown, in the vehicle. And said they were going down the road, and all of a sudden he seen the hairs go up on top of his neck because of such a presence of the Lord dropping to the vehicle where he was. And he said it's such a strong presence in that vehicle when they were there. And it was the angel of the Lord that had come down. The presence of God Almighty. And Brother Branham looked at him, he said, it's like that every time. Can you say amen?
That's right.
When the Lord comes down, it's always the same.
Yep.
He'll melt your heart away. I'm telling you what, God is a holy God, friends.
Amen.
He's such a holy God that whenever Moses began to come into His presence, He says, Moses, you take off your shoes because you were on holy ground.
Amen.
No, the world has become of such an attitude of today where it takes away that sensitivity of the Holy Ghost to where God is no longer up here. He's just around here and everybody can have Him. Everybody's a Christian. Is that right? Everybody's a Christian. Everyone loves God. But I'm going to tell you what. You meet Him one time for the real thing.
That's right.
It'll change your tune, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Because I'm telling you what. It's something real.
Amen.
I know myself. I've tasted of it. And it's good.
Amen.
You know, I was talking to Brother Tony. I read a quote this morning where a man was talking to an infidel. And this infidel was telling everybody how there's really not much to this Christian thing. It's just a bunch of enthusiasm. Do you believe it's a bunch of enthusiasm or is it the real thing? You know, he kept saying, it's a bunch of enthusiasm, there ain't nothing, there's nothing really to that. These people are just hyped up. And this old country boy came walking up, shaggy hair down his face, big old beard, walking through there and it picked up an old apple. And listen to this infidel, he was talking, he said, oh, there's nothing to that Christian stuff. Bent into his apple, he looked at him, he says, I'm going to ask you something. Is this apple sweet or is it sour? That infidel was looking over here and says, well, I don't know, I ain't either. He said, that's exactly what I was thinking. The man walked away and he proved his point. Amen. You taste it one time and you'll know if it's sweet. Amen.
That's right.
I'm telling you what, it's real. Brother Brennan talked about one time how he had a turtle and he wanted to make that turtle come out of the shell. He beat it on with a stick, never would come out. He put it in the water, never would come out. You know what he did next time? He put it over fire. He held that turtle over that fire and I'm going to tell you what, them legs went to kicking. And there was something inside him. You didn't have to ask that turtle if he was alive. You could tell he was alive, all right? He had fire in his bosom. Amen? And that's what we got to be. We need more fire in our bosom. Amen? We need fire in our bosom to where there's a life on the inside where I'm not just going day by day. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, I want the signs to follow me. Amen?
Amen.
We aren't called to look for signs. Signs be following us. Praise God. Because I'm going to tell you what, if you're alive, you've got evidence you're alive. You let a dead man lay there in a coffin, I can walk up there and slap him in the face. You know what he'll do? He'll lay there. Let him be alive when he walk up and do that.
That's right.
I walk and slap him, he's going to slap me back real quick. You know why? He's alive. There's something inside of him. If he's dead, there's nothing there. I'm going to tell you what, I want to be alive today, amen? I want to be alive when the Word of God's coming forth, when we have opportunity to come to service. I want to be alive. When they're singing the songs, they're praising God. I want to be alive, amen. I want something stirring on the inside of me. Something inside me that said, yes, that's right. That's right. The old rugged cross, that's right. There's something to that.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Branham talked about that old pool of water. It was bubbling all the time. He went to this spring. He was bubble, bubble, bubble. He was just out in the deer woods doing his thing. And he looked at that old spring that just kept bubbling. He says, what makes you bubble like that? Is it because the deers come drink from you? Is that why you bubble? He said, that spring could talk. He said, no. It ain't because the deers come drinking from me. Maybe it's the rabbits. Maybe it's because they drink from you. Is that what makes you bubble? No. Well, maybe it's me. Maybe it's because I come drink from you. Maybe that's why you bubble. If that old spring could have spoke, he'd have said, no. Something on the inside of me just makes me bubble. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Something on the inside of you that makes me say amen to the Word of God.
Right.
There's something inside of me. Even when I wasn't serving God, even whenever before I'd given my heart and committed to Him, I knew God was real. I knew He was real. Yeah. Something inside my bosom, when I heard it, something said, that's right. But at the same time, I've seen a bunch of nonsense out here where they say, you don't have to do certain things. Yeah. You can live with certain things. Something inside here said, that ain't right.
That's right.
I knew it wasn't right. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We got to live. We need a fortified house. A fortified house where you keep the devil out of your house, the devil out of your church, the devil out of your workspace, because it's our place, amen?
Amen.
We take domain over this. That devil ain't got no right here. You know why? Because I have been bought with a price. Can you say amen? Amen. I've been bought. He ain't mine. I'm not his. I'm the Lord's. And that means if I have need of healing, God is my provider to meet my needs and heal my body.
Yes.
How many of you need healing in your body? It's yours.
Amen.
You can say, it's mine. I don't accept this sickness. I don't accept it. The other day I was so sick I couldn't hardly hold my head up in my flesh. Felt that way. I would not speak that. You know why?
Right.
The devil don't even know if he's affecting you unless you speak it out loud and you show him it's working. He don't even know. He'll sit there and keep working at you and keep working at you and keep working at you. And then he'll let you confess, I'm sick. Yeah, you just confess that on you and you will be sick. And a person that gets sick, they'll keep confessing over and over. I'm sick, I'm sick, I'm sick. I've been guilty in the past myself. But you know what? That kept coming over me and the Lord told me, he said, you resist that thing. And I went to Popeye's Chicken and I couldn't hardly hold my head up. And I sat there and I said, someone said, are you doing all right? I said, I am absolutely awesome. I'm telling you what, God has been so good to me today. And she said, well, I wish more people would be more like that. She walked away, didn't feel any better all at once. I kept saying, you know what? The Word of God is my fortification. And that means I don't have to accept this sickness at all.
Yes.
And I planted my feet. And I'm going to tell you what, in less than an hour, I was just as chirpy as I am right now. Praise God. If you got need of healing, it's here for you.
Amen.
You know what? We have a fortification where we can fortify our home where the devil don't come in and cause schisms in our body. Amen? Where the devil will try to come in and cause you to have a lukewarm experience. God ain't never called us to that. God called us to be on fire for God. Amen? On fire in His service. When we come to service, we need to be pumped up and ready to go. How many's pumped up this morning?
Amen.
I'm pumped up this morning. He said, Bro, Daniel, let's use enthusiasm. Come get what I got, and you'll be filled with enthusiasm too. Amen? I worked at Williams Chevrolet years ago, and I was up there pumping gas, and I was singing One of Them, and I was tapping my foot and putting fuel in the tank. How many knows you can praise God at work?
Yeah.
Sure you can. I was praising God at work. I was sitting here at the gas pump out on Littlefield, and I was singing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm just feeling so bubbly on the inside, filling my gas. I got to go inside the place, and I got to get my ticket to sign my deal. And this lady in there, she is so grumpy. Every time I go in there, she's grumpy, and I ain't going to let that get to me. How many knows you got people you have to deal with that are grumpy all the time?
Yeah.
Sure we do. We all got to deal with it. I walked inside there, and she was sitting behind the desk, the old grumpy face, and I'm sitting back here, and I'm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Something just a bubble on the inside. You know why? I'm born again.
Amen.
I got something to be happy about. I was sitting here and I was just humming One of Them, and she stopped what she was doing and she said, would you quit being so happy? See, every time I come in here, you're happy. You're always humming. You're always doing that. I said, get the Holy Ghost one time. It's a lot harder to be depressed all the time than you think. Can you say amen?
Right.
You get the Holy Ghost. It's hard to be depressed all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I try. I'm sorry. There's something inside me. Won't let me do it. I'm a son of God, man. I'm going somewhere, praise God.
Amen.
I'm fixing to go somewhere. If I was going to take these kids to a great trip somewhere, they're going to be excited. And try talking them out of it. Like, whatever. Who cares about all those things? I'm going somewhere. You know what? We need to be focused on that. We're going somewhere.
Amen.
Amen. We're not bound to this place right here. We're just pilgrims and strangers. We may as well fellowship while we're here and have fun. But I'm telling you what, we're going somewhere. We're going in a rapture, amen.
We got to be focused. We got to be watching. We got to be seeking the Lord because we're going to go. Amen. I'm going. If you won't go, you better get things together.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Oh, that's for free. That wasn't even on the nose. Praise the Lord. Satan's walking as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and he's constantly pawking and probing to get confessions out of us. He's seeking for signs out of us. That devil is looking for signs. That devil is looking for ways to get a hold of you. You know, in Goshen, they had a token. And what they had to do for that token to be applied, they had to take the blood of a lamb without blemish. Is that right? And strike it on that doorpost. And when they struck it on that doorpost, they had to all... And this is my doorpost. Let's just pick a doorpost. This is my doorpost. They had to strike the blood on that doorpost. And everybody had to be behind that door inside Goshen. Is that right? But not only did they have to be inside that door, they Amen. Had to all partake of the lamb and the bitter herbs. Is that right? Every one of them, they had to. So not just being in the house was enough. They had to be in the house and partaking of the lamb. We must be partaking of the lamb, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
We must be partaking of the bitter herbs. Just coming to church is good. That's not enough. We need to partake of the lamb. Amen. And you know, if they were in there, the reason they were in there, because that death angel was going to pass and smite all the firstborn. And without a doubt, they heard the screams, they heard the shouts, they heard all these things from inside. But they were in there. Son, I imagine the firstborn son was sitting right there and says, "Papa, is the blood there?" "Yes, son." You know why he was so nervous? He was the firstborn. He was the one that was going to die. He said, "Papa, are you sure the blood's there?" "Son," he said, "the blood is there." And he said, and he's sitting there and he hears the screams on down the street coming closer to his house. Closer to his house because the firstborns were dying.
Yes.
And that little boy, I mean, he was sitting there and they was trying to eat the lamb and he had the lamb and his hands probably shaking. He said, "Papa, are you sure the blood has been applied? Because this is me it's affecting, Papa. Are you sure the blood's applied?" He said, "Son, the blood is applied. I have the staff in my hand. My shoes are ready to go. I'm telling you, son, the blood's been applied. The rapture morning's fixing to happen, son. We've got the blood applied." I want to ask you, do you have the blood applied? We got to have the blood applied to our home, and there should be an urgency on the inside of us or something on the inside of us said, "Do I have the token applied? Am I ready for the rapture?" Because I'm going to tell you what, you get one shot.
Right. Amen.
There's no grace period after that.
That's right.
One shot, and you, whether you're ready or you're not. And if you're left behind, you are left to a devil that's going to be on the rampage like you've never seen before.
Right.
And there is no this nonsense that the Christian movies try to put out where people are giving their heart to the Lord and preaching these sermons during the Great Tribulation period. It's false.
Right.
The blood, the gospel has gone to the Jews at that time. The 144,000. That's the truth. Friends, we've got the precious blood of Jesus Christ given to us freely this morning. And all we've got to do is accept it.
Amen.
All we've got to do is say, "God, I accept that blood. I accept that pardon. God, I accept it. Lord, forgive me." And you take that. And I'm going to tell you what, when you truly accept the blood of Jesus Christ, you'll never be the same. When you truly do it, there'll be such a deep gratitude on the deep, deep, deep inner parts of your soul, on the inside of you. You'll never want to offend God ever again.
Right.
It brings a birth. It brings something on the inside of you. It's deep on the inside. You'll never be the same. You can't. Will you make mistakes? Absolutely. You'll make mistakes, but you know what? You won't be able to stay there. When you fall on your face, there'll be something on the inside of you that says, "God, forgive me." Praise God for that. Amen. I thank God for that call on the inside. When I fall on my face, it'll pull me back to the altar. It'll pull me back to the blood. You take a hog, you can clean a hog up, you can shave him up, you can put shaving cream on him, you can clean him, you can do whatever you want to do. You can get the most expensive cologne they buy. I'm going to use Polo because that's the most expensive I can buy when I get on clearance. You can take that Polo, you can spray that hog down with it. Make him smell good, if possible. You take that hog, and he looks so good, he cleans good, everything. You put a clean house right here, and you put a mud pen right here,
he'll hit the mud pen every single time. You know why? The nature of him is a hog. The nature's never been changed. So every time he'll fall right back into that same old thing.
Right.
And I know in myself, I remember before the Lord truly changed me, I would serve God good for a few days. And next thing you know, I was right back doing the same old things.
That's right.
And I'd go back and I'd start serving the Lord again. I'd put the clone on, so to speak. I'd put everything on, make myself smell presentable again. Next thing you know, I'd do it maybe one or two steps. Next thing you know, I'm right back to the same old thing. 2 steps forward, 10 steps back. 2 steps forward, 15 steps back, so it feels like
that's
sometimes.
Right, that's right.
How many knows what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I had never been changed. On the inside of me, on the outside of me, I was trying. I was on the outside, I was being presentable. You know, you can look righteous on the outside and be full of dead man's bones on the inside. That's what Jesus said.
Amen.
Jesus looked at the Pharisees and Sadducees. He says, on the outside, you look so righteous, but you are full of dead man's bones. See, it's an inward work. I would rather see somebody that had a true, genuine, inward work on the inside and maybe not so right on the outside than to see someone have the right stuff on the outside and be dead on the inside. Amen.
Amen.
Because when you get the real thing on the inside, it will come out on the outside.
Amen.
But you got to get the inside. You got to search every door. Say, Lord, search every door in my house. Go into every door, God, search. And if there be anything, take it away. If there be anything in me that will hinder the Word of God moving in my life, take it away. Can you say amen?
Right.
Burn it out, God. I remember before I'd really give my heart to the Lord, and you know, I would take steps forward and fall backwards, and I kept going through the same old thing. And I thought, I'll never get over this. And I remember my poor wife, she was big and pregnant at the time, and do you know you can hold a position in a church? You can even preach the gospel and not be born again.
That's exactly right.
There'll be probably more preachers in hell than anything else. You know, my wife was big and pregnant, and I was trying to do right. We want to do right, don't we? Trying to do right, and I remember I was under a lot of stress working, you know, ridiculous hours that you should never try to do, and I was doing it to provide. And I remember one time I was in the kitchen and I was fixing to go to work and I was so tired. I'd been up literally for 3 days straight. And I was just tired. I was exhausted and I was just at a hard time. And I remember I was in the kitchen and God had been dealing with me on this same thing. I'm telling you what, I've got a gospel that works and I can testify of it. And I remember I was in the kitchen and I was, She had made my lunch, and there wasn't no meat in there. And it was just like broccoli and green stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm working all these hours, and you want me to survive on that stuff? And I remember she was behind me, and I opened it up. And I said, come on, babe. I said, I'm 215-pound man. I said, I got to eat. I need food. And I turned around, and she would just sit down in the chair, and she broke down crying. Most precious thing in the world the Lord gave me next to my salvation is my wife. And she was sitting there crying because I had such a bad temper. I had something inside me that was so frustrated. I was so consumed with my own needs, I forgot to even think about hers. And I looked back and my poor little wife was sitting there and she just broke down crying, sitting in the chair. And I said, God, I can't do this no more. I got down on my knees and put my arm around her. I apologized to her. And I had no shed behind my house. And I said, you know what? Work can wait. I don't care if I lose my job. I'm getting this right today. I'm not going another day like this. Y'all went out in my old shed out there, and it was hot. It was the middle of the summertime. I walked out there. It was dusty. I found the first thing I could find as being an altar. And I pushed that thing, all that stuff to the side. I got on my knees right there. And I said, God, I'm not getting up until something happens. I'm going to tell you what. I stayed on my knees. I started seeking God. I said, God, I don't want to do this no more. I want the real thing. I'm either going to do it 100% or I'm getting out. I want to be 100%. I'm going to tell you what, I stayed there and poured my heart out to God. He met me there, friends. And I'm going to tell you what, by His grace, I've never had that problem ever again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I had to pray through. Many times we pray. Many times we went to the Lord, but I'm going to ask you, have we ever really prayed through and let God burn us out? Say, God, burn me out. I don't want to take two steps and five step backs anymore. I don't want to do this. I want to be real. I want to be genuine. I remember looking at the scriptures where it says God would look at the trees. He said it was good. He saw the herbs bearing fruit of its kind. He said it was good. You know why he thought it was good? It was doing what it was created to do. It wasn't being a hypocrite. It wasn't a pine tree trying to be an oak tree. None of these things. It was being what it was called to do.
Amen.
I want to do what I've been called to do. Amen. As a son of God, I want to bear the life of God. As a son of God, I want to have the genuine fruits of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I want it. I want it. I want to seek God with all my heart. And we can have it this morning.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what, there's a presence here this morning, friends. If you reach out and you claim it, don't you go from the service being the same. You've got God knocking on your heart. You give in to Him today and you say,
amen.
God, I want to give it to you. I give it all to you. God will put a deep call to the deep in your heart. He'll put something on the inside of you to where you want to serve God. But you've got to fortify your own house. Eve, in the Garden of Eden, Eve was fortified within her husband. Adam was the prophet of God. Would everybody agree with that? Adam had a message. Adam had the word. Eve was right beside her. And all she had to do was listen to her husband and stay with her husband wherever he went. And that devil knew he needed to get into the kingdom. He knew he had to try to get into the race because he got kicked out of heaven.
That's right.
Got kicked out of my house too. You say amen?
Amen.
Poor old God got kicked out everywhere. He went to that Garden of Eden and he knew the only thing he could do, he had to get in that race. He's got to. I've got to get in this race. I've got to get in there. And I know if I go to Adam, I'm going to be like touching a lightning bolt. He's going to light me up because he's got the word. That's the way it is when you got the word and the devil tries to come to you. He's like grabbing a hold of a lightning bolt. He said, I can't go to him. I'm going to go to the weakest link. I'm going to go to Eve. Eve was his helpmate. Eve was taken from the rib from him. Eve was this one that she was to follow Adam's leadership. Eve was the one that was supposed to, she was created for him. The most wonderful thing to a man next to his salvation is his wife, a godly wife. And that devil, that serpent, he knew if he was to go to Eve right off the bat, she would have said, you better get on out of here. That devil's slicker than that. He ain't going to come up to you and say, I'm going to run your day today. He'll come slow. He'll come slothful. And he'll wear you down. And he'll begin to look for weaknesses. Maybe he told Eve, he says, you know what? He didn't give you much attention today, did he? I seen that. Adam did not give you the attention you deserved. And maybe he said, oh, no. Adam always gives me attention I need. Adam is a genuine, he's a man of God. And he said, no, I seen it. He did not give you the attention you deserved. He didn't even shake your hand. And she said, no. But later on, old Eve got to thinking about that. She said, you know what? He didn't pay much attention to me. And I'm going to see, I'm going to watch next time. Next time I talk to him, I'm going to see if he pays attention to me. So next service comes along. Minister's up there. Adam. And Adam is doing his service. And Adam is taking care of all the garden. Remember, he is the one over all the garden. He's the one that's got to take care of these things. I want the tree over there, please. No. Adam was over all these things. And I imagine that old serpent was watching. And he began to look and says, he didn't pay much attention to me. And that serpent looked up and he says, he didn't pay attention to you again, did he? See that? You know what he's doing? He's sowing seeds of discord.
That's right.
That devil is looking for ways to get her to lose respect to her husband. And I'm going to tell you what. The devil will do the same thing for your ministry. He'll make you try to make you lose respect for your ministry. He'll try to make you lose respect for your pastor. He'll make you try to lose respect for your husband. He'll try to make you lose respect for your wife. That's the way the devil will do it. He'll cause you to look at little things. And what one step at a time, Adam was over here and Eve was further and further and further and further away from God. At one time, she walked so close to God, so close to Adam, that they were in sync. Every time Adam would take a step, she would take a step. But that old devil pulled her away. I'm going to tell you what, that's what the devil's trying to do it again today. He's trying to take us away, friends. Take us away from our devotion to the Lord. Take us away. Rather than, I'm like, this is a kind of a silly way of explaining it, but it'd be a way of getting my point across. Instead of her seeing, I wonder if Adam's cup of coffee is full. I want to make sure his cup is full because I respect him so much. Rather than going and making sure his coffee was full, she was looking for faults in him. She was looking for failures in him. A house that's divided cannot stand. You want a strong church, have strong families. Strong prayer life. Amen?
Yeah.
Brother Brown said a good Christian will pray and read his Bible every day.
Right.
Try eating. Try not going a few days without eating. Not just fasting. I mean, you go all week. Don't eat. Don't drink. Now, you can go a little while without eating, but you can't go very far without drinking, can you? Your body will start shutting down. But so you take that in the spiritual side. You have got to feed the inner man. You've got to feed the Holy Ghost. You got the life of God in you? How many believe you do? I've got him in me. But I have got to feed him. And he ain't going to eat hot dogs.
That's right.
He ain't going to eat cream cakes. He eats the Word. The Word of God. Amen? We need to feed him the Word of God. That devil will, in the same way I was talking about Eve, he'll come with us with every good excuse of why we don't need to pray right now. Every good excuse of why we shouldn't read our Bible right now. Good, legit reasons. Good thing. I need to get the laundry done. I've got to get the laundry done. Does laundry need to be done? Sure it does. But I'm going to tell you what. I could really feel I'm really in something right now. And you hold on to the Lord, because I'm telling you what, the Lord's dealing with you. We've got things we've got to do, but if you will put God first in your life, I'm telling you, God will take care of the rest. Sorry. He will meet the needs and the rest. You got financial stress on you. You got physical stress on you. You've got spiritual stress on you. I'm going to tell you, there's one remedy. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and others will be added unto you. You put God first. And see if God don't take care of the rest. Because I'm going to tell you what, He's the Lord of the house. It's a fortified house. And in this fortified house, it's God's responsibility to feed you.
Yeah.
It's God's responsibility to make sure you're taken care of. It's God's responsibility to make sure your bills are paid. But we're His stewards over what He's given us. That's right. If I was to pick Mr. Elijah out here, and I was going to make him my steward. So Mr. Elijah, you are my steward. I'm going to pay all the bills. I am the financial aid. I'm going to be the one that's going to give you the money. And I know how much needs to be given. And I can give him the money. Now, if he goes out and buys a bunch of waffles and everything like that, or whatever, and blows that money, and then all of a sudden his bills need to be paid. Now, is it because I'm a bad provider? It's because he's a bad steward. I don't mean to pick on my boy. I'm going to tell you what, that's exactly how it is. God is a good provider. Can you say amen?
Amen?
God is a good provider. There are a lot of women today that will go out and blow the paycheck while the husband's at work, completely blow it, and then he ain't got money to pay the bills. And then they say, well, if he would provide better, I would pay the bills. Well, if you would be a better steward of what he gave you, you could pay the bills.
That's right.
That's right. You know, Scripture says very clearly, he says that we actually rob God.
Yep.
Did you know you can actually rob God?
That's right.
How do we rob God? In tithes and offerings.
That's right.
It's His in the first place.
That's right.
100%, it's all God's. And then 10% of that's all He asks. You give 10% of your first, you give it to me, I'll take care of the rest. But see, I'll tell you what, I'm flesh man just like everybody else in here. I know what it's like to stress. I know what it's like to have bills. But I'm going to tell you what, you put God first. You pay your tithes first, and then pay your offerings, God will meet the rest. That's right. You are a steward over what God gave you. God has given you that financial. God has given you this responsibility. And the better you are a steward of that, the better God can bless you. But see, He can't bless you if He's having to stop and whoop your hind end every 5 minutes. That's right. I remember one time we were younger, and I don't mean to pick on my boy again, but he knows I love him. I remember years ago that we were on a vacation, and Daddy had reserves. I had been planning this for a long time to meet the needs, to have fun, have joy. But I'm not going to tell you which one it was. It wasn't him. I'll try to save myself a little bit. But one of them, they just kept acting up. And I have to stop my blessing to give him a whipping. How many times does the Lord have to stop the blessing on us to give us a whipping? He wants to bless us. We are on vacation. I have reserves from the back of my mind, from the foundation of the world, so to speak. I have this planned to give to you. But you want to be rebellious. And when you're rebellious, I cannot bless you. I will stop and I will whip your hind end. Because I love you. 10 times that magnitude, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way God is with us, friends. He wants to meet every need among us. He wants there to be joy unspeakable in our hearts. He wants to be to where we're so happy. You think God wants you to be happy? Of course He wants you to be happy. I would hate to see my children depressed. I won't stand for it. I'll find out what's going on. I'll investigate. I think we need to be involved in our children's lives. That's right. We need to be proactive. Not look at them and don't pay attention to them and then find out 3 years down the road that, you know, Jenny's pregnant for, and I don't know Jenny, but I'm just throwing a name out there. Well, why did you do that? Well, you didn't give me the time. You were there, never there for me. As parents, we need to take the time for our children. Amen? We need to take the time for our wife and give her the due diligence she deserves. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is this good stuff or what?
Amen.
I'll tell you what. I feel like we need it. You remember, any time a preacher preaches that, he's whooping himself too. So don't think. I remember one time I was on a horse and I was riding. Well, I was racing my brother and I had the reins and I was swatting that horse trying to go faster, and I kept swatting myself in the meantime. I think I got worse of it than the horse did. I don't remember if I lost the race or not, but I probably did, considering the whelps. I'm telling you what, these are things we need, friends. We need to fortify our house. That's right. We fortify our home. We have love in the home. And we let dad be dad. Let mom be mom. What do you mean by let dad be dad?
Yes,
let dad have the position he's called to be. That's right. You let dad be in the position he's called to be. Dad has been there. Dad is over the wall, and he looks across the timeline and he remembers, I went there and that were hard times. I've been through there. Those are hard times. And you see the boy going down that same pasture, running down that, and you remember, I run across that, and there's one of them trees, I can't remember the name of it, the tree with the big old thorns on it. You can look, and you remember, I was his age, and I run across that, and there's a big old thorn tree. And you holler at him. Don't go across there. Don't go around there. You stay away from there. Now, that child can look at that parent like they're crazy and say, what are you talking about? There is nothing here. There's nothing here. They were just as blind as you were when you were their age. But we know what we're protecting them from. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. We know what we're protecting them from. You've got to respect dad enough and let him have that position. Toward dad, when he says, don't do that, son, I've been there. Let him have that position. You've got to respect pastor enough and let pastor have his position. You believe God works through dads and fathers? You believe God works through ministry? Through a pastor? Absolutely. A gift of a pastor is one of the blessings that we can't surpass. There are a lot of churches out there that would love to have one that will stay with the word. They're fewer and fewer and far between of finding a true ministry that will stay with the word, that will give you the truth. Though sometimes we may look like a fuddy-dud, though sometimes compared to the world, we got the word, though. Amen?
Yeah.
And I would rather have the word than to have all the activities in the world and find out that one day you weren't ready.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
We got to let pastor have his position to where God will lay things on that man's heart and things on his heart that he has no idea why. He'll deal with his heart, and sometimes he'll go through trials you'll never see for you. And then when he gets up and he'll begin to speak with the Word of God. He'll speak the Word of God. It'll be directly to you. And say, well, Brother Ned, what do you mean by let pastor be pastor? Let the Word of God discern your heart. Right. Let the Word of God mold you. Amen? We've got to let the Word of God, when it's preached. My grandma plants trees all the time. And when she plants these trees, she'll have every once in a while, she'll have a tree that'll keep falling over. A little bitty tree. You know what will happen if she don't do nothing with that? That tree will grow just like that. It'll be all deformed and everything else. So you know what she does? She takes a stake, sticks it beside that tree, and ties that tree and pulls that tree out. And that tree, I bet he feels awful uncomfortable. You imagine. You want to be like this. When I was going to physical therapy, they told me, Daniel, you're always standing like this. Now, of course, we all know, Daniel don't do that. I do. I have a problem with my posture. I'm supposed to stand straight, but I always find myself with my shoulders down. And that chiropractor, the therapist, would always tell me, Daniel, straighten your back up. Straighten my back up, and I'd be doing my workout. Next thing you know, I'm back to normal. And she got worse. She had one of those stretchy things that you use to exercise, and she would pop me with that thing. And she was good shot. I'm telling you, I could be way over there, and I'd be out of my posture, and she'd, and I would hear something, and all of a sudden, I'm like, oh. After a little while, anytime I strut my shoulder up, and I heard a lot of chuckling just like that. It sounded pretty well like that. Y'all there? It was uncomfortable. But see, she knew it was for my own good that you need to straighten up. And many times it would be frustrating. My back would be hurting. I'd be sore from the surgery and all these things. I don't want somebody telling me to straighten up all the time. But I need it.
Right.
Amen. The ministry, sometimes you feel like every service he's telling you to straighten this up. Straighten this up. Straighten this up. You know, every time you hear that, you're hearing it. Brother Tony's up here. He's a good shot, isn't he? Not him, the Lord. I wouldn't say you did anything wrong. I'm just picking one out. That's the way it is. I'm telling you what. The Lord will keep dealing with our heart until we get it right. You ever get a coach that's really hard on you? It's because he sees something in you. If he don't see nothing in you, he'll just let you go. He'll let you go practice to practice. But if he's screaming at you all the time, you're thinking, that coach hates me. He don't like me. He's mean. He called me slow. You know why he's hard on you? He sees something in you. And he will keep working at you and keep working at you and keep working at you until he sees what he sees inside you come out. Amen. Let the pastor be pastor. We're talking about fortifying the house. We want a fortified house. Let the pastor be pastor. Let him preach. Let him give me the word of God. Check him with the word. Take that word and check him with what he says. Make sure it lines up. We all should. Is that right?
That's right.
But let him be God. I'm running short on time, but I've got a few things I want to say. We got to let God be God.
Amen.
Let God be God in our lives. A lot of times we're too afraid. We're too afraid that he's not going to do what he said he's going to do. Is that right? We are too afraid. He says, I will provide all your needs. And you've got this bill you got to pay. And you think, oh, Lord, I want to pay my tithes. I want to pay my tithes, but time is getting closer. And I better go ahead and take the tithe money and pay the bill because I don't think God's going to meet the need. Amen? I'll give you a testimony. Hey, I know this works because I've tried it. I remember me and my wife, we were going through a really tough time, and I had two choices. Pay the electric bill or pay tithes and offerings. And we were getting close to that borderline. That's my borderline right there. And we're getting closer to that, and I'm trying to hold time back as fast as I could. Everybody been there? You've got time is going so fast, and your month is here, and your money's back here, it feels like. time is getting so close and I'm trying to keep it back and I'm thinking I've got to get the money to pay my tithes or my electric bill. Which one am I going to do? You know what I did? My wife and I, we joined prayers. We joined hands right there in the living room in Pecola. We joined our hands, we got on our knees, and we said, God, we know you're faithful. And we want to be faithful to you. And I want you to meet every need. I'm giving you first what you gave me. And I'm asking you to provide my needs. And we went to church, and I gave my tithes and my offerings in good faith. And I said, God, I give it to you in Jesus' name. I believe we need to have reverence even in tithes and offerings. That's right. Give it with thanksgiving. Yes. Not like, here, Lord, here's your tithes.
Right, exactly.
And your offerings. Bad attitude about that. You think God's going to bless you with that? That's like my wife making me an apple pie because she knows I love apple pie. That's like her making an apple pie and I coming into work and I pull into the driveway and I... I go inside that and she said, here's your apple pie. Give me that apple pie. You may as well just keep your apple pie. Because I ain't eating it. She's never done that. But you know what? It's her way of presenting that to me. But she's, you know, when I walk in that door, I'm saying, thank you, honey. I like that. What do you want? I think it's good to laugh every now and then, amen? And the way we give our tithes and offering, we need to be thankful in what we do. We need to be thankful in our giving. Be thankful in what we're doing for one another. Because there's no greater reward than when you just suffer a little bit, but you help somebody else. Is that right? It's a great feeling. Whenever you can suffer a little bit. But I was saying, we were faithful to the Lord. We paid our tithes. We paid our offerings. We went home, and I was expecting at any time that I was going to get the call, electric's out. I didn't have a cell phone, because we put the money towards the tithes and offerings. A lot of times people won't pay tithes and offerings, but they've got cell phones.
Yeah.
I was at work, Victor Springs, and I had a phone call. Pam says, your wife's on the phone, and she seems a little excited. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, devil, Mr. Faithful here. I'm thinking, God's going to provide, you know. Oh, goodness. I'm going up, and I pick up the phone. My wife says, you ain't going to believe this. You ain't going to believe this. And she said about three or four times, she says, we got a deal on the market. Our electric bill has been paid. I said, well, praise God. I was back to Mr. Faithful again. Our electric bill had been paid. And nobody knew anything about what we're going through. We got a deal, a credit from OG&E, saying our electric bill was paid in full. Praise God.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what, you be faithful to God, he'll be faithful to you.
Amen. That's right.
That's right. He will. That's what I love about it. I love about my wife. I don't have to worry about her going out and cheating on me, running around with other men. I don't have to worry about that. You know why? We have a fortified house. She loves me. I love her. I love her cooking. She likes to cook. It works out great. And it's a great... It's wonderful. And that's the way it is with God, 10 times more than that. He's faithful to me. And I'm faithful to him. I don't have to worry about him cheating on me, running around. I don't have to worry about God not meeting my needs. I don't have to worry about those things. I love him, and he loves me. Do you believe that about yourself? How many says, I know God loves me? There was a couple of you. I'm going to ask you, how many knows God loves you? I know God loves me. And I know God wants to meet my needs. I know he does. And some of my wants too. Just because he can. You know what? It's our attitude towards God. You put God first. Put him first in everything. Put him first in your marriage. Put him first in your finances. Put him first in your health. Put him first in your church. Put God first on everything, and God will bless it. And that's what makes it good, friends, is God's blessing. Amen?
Amen.
Let's all stand. Praise God. I want a fortified house. I want to fortify my house to where I want to conduct myself in such a way God can bless me. Because I want the full benefits of the vacation. Yeah.
I want the ice cream. I want the banana splits. I want the milkshakes. I like ice cream. I want everything God's got to give me. You see, God wants to bless us, but he can't bless you if he has to stop and leave you. Amen? Is that truth?
That's right.
God wants to bless us, but we have to put him first. We conduct ourselves in a way where God can bless us. Let's fortify our house. Let's fortify our church. Let's fortify our song leader.
Amen.
Amen? How can I fortify my song leader? We can pray for him. Amen? We can pray when we come to church. We need to be praying before we even get to church. We need to be praying up already, friends. We need to be praying and preparing. How would you like it if a minister did not prepare before they come to church? You wouldn't like it too much. Or the song leader not prepared before he got the song leading.
Right.
He has to prepare. We have to prepare. Let's pray for our ministry. Let's pray for our musicians. And then when they sing, let's back him up. Amen. When he's singing, let's sing with him. And let's get out of our comfort zone. And let's praise God. Let's get out of our comfort zone and then become real. Amen. Praise God. That's what Tim was singing this song. I'll probably get double time from the air rifles now. I'm going to tell you what. I've told you the truth, friends.
Amen. Morning. That's right.
Amen.
You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands to worship as we praise your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands to worship as we praise your holy name. You are great.
Steps, I want to make the right decisions, and sometimes I just don't know. You can receive it right from your seat. If you want me to pray with you, me and Brother Tony would be glad to pray with you and have you have a fresh start. We're going to open the altar for you right now. Anybody has need of prayer?
You
phrase that we use where we say that the minister has been plowing in our tater patch. And I know that for each one of us, we could say this morning that someone has come through and plowed our tater patch, and what we've been planting is laying on the ground before us. Now, your neighbor may not know what your fruit is, what you've been sowing, but you do. God spoke to you this morning, and you know, Brother Daniel's right. You always have somebody pounding on you all the time, but I've said that in my house. Let Dad be Dad. I have a responsibility, and it's not always the most wonderful thing for Dad to have to sit and talk to you about what you need to hear, but you got to let Dad be Dad. Because he's got a responsibility on his shoulders. You know, when I was a kid growing up, and I lived with my grandparents, and this sister here on the front right here in the green, that's my aunt. And I lived in the same house with her and her brother, my uncle Harlan, Cecil. His name's Cecil. And I shared a room with him. And he was just an uncle. They were grown, but I was in school growing up, and we lived out up north of Rudy. I went to school in Alma, went north of Rudy there, and we had a rather long driveway. We'd go and then have to go up the hill, and it kind of curved. But by the time you get about halfway up the, before you get to the hill, you could see the corner of the garage building there, and they had a sawhorse there for a long time that was sitting there. But on report card days, now I don't know how Arlen knew report cards. I don't know how he knew what day they come out. But he was kind of like a fatherly figure, even though I lived with my grandparents. But whenever report card day came out, and I'd walk up that road, and I'd get about halfway up, and he'd be standing there beside that building, waiting on me to bring it forward, because he wanted to see what I did. And you know what? If I did good, I was happy to walk up that hill and give that card to him. But if I'd been slacking off and playing around all year and didn't have good grades, I dreaded that walk. Mm-hmm. Because I knew he was going to let me have it. You know what? At the time, it wasn't too comfortable to me. But I cherished that now. I cherished it. I mean, remember Brother Brown talk about when he was a boxer and his trainer would absolutely pound him to pieces in the training. And he said to the man one day, he said, why do you make it so hard on me? He said, well, you don't like it now. You'll hate me now. But when you get in the ring with your opponent,
yes,
you're going to love me for this. And that's what I want to tell you, saints, today. Sometimes it's hard that the preacher has to pull that out and plow your potato patch up. But what good does it do you if he doesn't tell you where you're missing it? Yeah. What does it do you come here and him pat you on your back? You can go somewhere else and get that.
That's right.
It does you no good if he doesn't tell you where you need to step up and tighten up a little bit better. And when it happens, maybe it doesn't feel good. But I'm going to tell you something. Neither Brother Daniel and I, either one, want to stand on rapture morning and have you look at us and say, why didn't you tell us?
Amen.
Right? May feel hard on you right now, but on that day, you'll be happy that you heard the truth. Yeah. And so, you heard a lot of good things this morning that we need to, you know, that I know that each one of us could tally up and come up to. And so, a lot of places we can be faithful. We want to worship the Lord. We want to honor the Lord. And one of the best ways you can do that is just do what he said. Ask what, you know, when he says to serve him and do the things, pay your tithes, you know, be what you're supposed to be. Well, that's one way that you can serve and honor the Lord, is by doing those things and putting God first. You say, I have financial issues. Put God first.
Amen.
You may feel like your mind is just totally swarmed all the time with so many issues. We have brief moments, like when you get up in the morning and everything's clear, you know, your mind's clear, and then as the day goes on, things start piling on you. Give God your first.
Yes.
That's what tithes is your first. Remember the Bible, first fruits. The first of the fruits that would come in the field. He gave you the whole thing. He gave you all the crop, and he wants you to take the first that comes and give back to him. He gave it all to you.
Yep.
How much of the breath did he give you in your body? Just one breath a day? Or did he give you all of it?
Right.
Right? And he's not even asking that you give it all. He's saying, give me the first.
Yep.
So give him the best. If you spend most of your time tired, give him the time whenever you're not tired, and he'll take care of the rest. And that's the concept. If you give him the first of it, He'll take what's left over and he'll make that go further than and let me just give you an example. You make $100, right?
Yeah.
You got bills and you say, you know what? I can't make this work. $100 ain't even going to quite make it. You give him the $10 that belongs to him, and that $90 will pay more than the $100 the other way.
That's right.
It'll go a lot further the other way. You say, I don't have enough time today to stop and pray and give God some time. You know what? Maybe you got only 8 hours. And you say, well, if I give him one and I've only got 7 hours, there's no way I can get this job done in seven. I'll tell you what, you give him that hour, you'll get more done in seven than you could do in 10 without it.
That's right.
And that's the way it works. So with your time, with your money, with your thinking, with your praise, with everything, honor God first, and he'll take, as the Lord of the harvest, you plant the right thing and he'll take the rest of it and he will multiply it. And take, and that's what you were hearing this morning.
Yep.
That's what you were hearing in all kinds of forms, all kinds of fashions. But I'll tell you something. We cannot come to church and leave the same.
That's right.
You come to church, and God has spoke to each one of you today. Every one of you have something that he has identified in your life that you can say, you know what, that's right. I need to give that to God. Now, you heard that, and you cannot hear from God and come to church and hear from God and turn and walk out that door the same. You'll either come to God with what he has pointed out to you today, and you will pour your heart out to him, and that will make you closer to him, or you'll sit right there and walk out with it, and you'll be further from him. You cannot go today the same you came. You'll either be closer to God, or you'll be further away from him when you leave the door today. So the only thing you can do is, with the sincerity of your heart right now, take what God has put his finger on in your life and commit it to him with all that you know how, all that you know how to do. And I'm going to tell you something. Now, this what I was going to minister on last week, the Lord changed it. It was about a birth. And a birth is always a mess. Whether it's in a pig pen or in a hospital, it's always a mess.
That's right.
I don't care where it is. But when it's birthed, you can't undo it.
That's right.
And these things in our life, if we got issues and we have trouble and we fought like Brother Daniel said, you know what? He was cranky with his wife. You know what he did? He got serious with God and he went out to that shed and he said, God, you got to birth me into the real thing.
Yes.
Because once you're birthed into the real thing, you know, you never go back to what it used to be.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? And so you struggle and you struggle and struggle. Listen, God has a birth for you.
Yes.
He can birth you into a life and a reality where you no longer have to struggle with those things. You'll have overcoming power of those things. If you have a hard time submitting your time to the Lord, if you have a hard time submitting your tithes and offering to the Lord, come before God with sincerity and get a birth with the matter. And you might have to scream and cry and at the altar to get it, whatever. It may be a mess because it's a birth. But once it happens, praise God, you'll be born.
Amen.
And you'll have that you need. You can go forth singing with joy in your heart because you've been birthed into that reality of God's kingdom. And whatever, and it's the whole Christian walk is what I'm talking about. But even in something, for those of you who do have a birth, and have a new birth in God, and you've got something you're having to struggle with, you can birth that today. But not if you don't get serious with it.
Yes.
See what I mean? A birth always has to be, there has to be birth pains. Birth pains. God doesn't have cesarean section births. He doesn't put you to sleep, make it easy so you wake up and all of a sudden you've got this thing born. That's a man-made thing.
Yeah.
But God's birth comes from travail. God's birth come from birth pains. That's the way it comes. And the scriptures, Jesus said it, the scriptures said that a woman, she's in travail and she's in pain and she's in sorrow and oh, it's so terrible. You sisters know what it's about. It's given a normal birth. And there she's in pain and all that like that. But the scripture said, but as soon as she's given birth, as soon as she remembers no more that anguish.
Yeah.
Because that man child's been born.
Amen.
Saints, that's what we need.
Yes.
That's what we need. Right now, there's no way we can bypass it. You've got a struggle in your life. You've got to have those pains. You've got to have that travail. You've got to have because it's actually the contractions, and if you sisters, if this is wrong, forgive me, but it's those contractions, those muscle spasms, that's what creates the pain, right? Well, you know what? That's what makes the birth canal ready. That's what makes this birth ready to come. And so there's no way you can get around it. You've got to have those pains and those travail and all that. But listen, saints, this promise of the scriptures is that as soon as you've given birth, you can walk out that door back there with joy in your heart. And you'll never have to go back and visit that again.
That's right.
It's a reality. The church world's want to have their religious system. They bypassed this a long time ago. But God's still God.
Yes.
And he will still do what he said he'll do. And the day, and according to scripture, the day that you seek him with all your heart, that's the day you'll find him. So in your little thing, your little area that he put his finger on this morning, seek him and find him today. I just want to pray and give you just a moment. Lord Jesus, as we come to the end of this service this morning, you realize, Lord, that each one of us, God, we want to be more like you. We want to be a better representation of the kingdom of heaven. We don't want to be lukewarm in our walk. We realize, God, that's the world that we live in. It's such a lukewarm condition, a lukewarm age. Satan and all of his kingdom and all the things that he's developed out there is made to make us be a lukewarm people. God, we don't want to be lukewarm. We want to be on fire for you.
Yes, Father.
That when other people could look at us, Lord, they would see you, and they could actually look and say, you know what, that Christian, that God that this man serves, I can have that. I can have that same deliverance in my life.
Yes,
Lord, that's what we want. We want people to look at us and find hope. Lord, in a world where there seems to be no hope, in a world where men's hearts are beginning to fail for fear because of what they see in the headlines that are coming. Lord, in the midst of that, we want to live in a way where people can look to us and have hope and come and find the same deliverance and gospel we have. Lord, we can't do that if we have things hanging on us that hinder us. So I pray, God, this morning that each one of us would pray now, Lord, that you would give us a birth of reality, of victory over our enemies and over the things that have hindered us. Lord, we believe that you have it for us. And we're believing now, God, as we lay before you with all of our hearts, Lord, asking, God, that you would give us victory over our enemies. Lord, that we never had to come back and visit the travail and the sorrow, Lord, of what the enemy has tried to do to us. Lord, we have laid before you with our heart crying, God, until you would reach down and touch us. We ask, God, that you would help each one of us that way today. Lord, make us a victorious people. We are victorious. We know that. We've seen you move so many times, but God, there's always a higher plane that our desire, that our hearts desire to have. And we ask, God, that you would give that to us today. Lord, I pray for each one in this room now. God, that you would visit with them. You know their needs. God, you know what they have to fight with. Lord, as Brother Daniel was talking about, the person, Lord, that was always so happy, always in a good mood, and Lord, just a little while later, we found out they'd taken their life. Lord, we know people fight things. We know that they have enemies. And Lord, we know that they have enemies that a lot of others around them don't have a clue to. But I pray, God, let your Holy Spirit come and bless your people this morning, Lord. And if they have an enemy by fighting them that way, God, I pray that you would deliver them. Lord, and help them to have the joy and peace of God in their hearts. Lord, we just surrender to you now. As we get ready to go from this service, Lord, we don't want to go until you're done with this world. We pray, God, that you be with us today. Help us, Lord. Help us to take these words we've heard this morning and go with them. Keep them in our hearts, Lord. May they just work with us, Lord, until we've come into that place that you have for us. Lord, we don't feel like we have much time left. That rapture door is open and we see it before us. I pray, God, that you allow us to be very effective and get the job done. Help us to be good stewards. Help daddies to be daddies, mommies to be mommies. Help your preachers and pastors to be preachers and pastors. Help each one to stand at their post of duty, not slack off any one of them. Our time of redemption is now. I ask, God, that you would bless us now. I ask it in Jesus' name. Sisters of my precious faith that you can fellowship with.
Yes.
Very precious to us. This little assembly is. I was talking to my son last night. We have fellowship on Sundays a lot at the house after morning service. And a lot of times everybody's playing basketball or they're doing different things, you know, and fellowshipping. And I don't really get out and physically participate a whole lot. And Ben was asking me, did I think I'd participate today? And I said, I might not. I don't know. I said, but, you know, Ben, I said, I'm content to sit and watch the people come together and fellowship and be happy to spend time together, be happy to be a group that's in unity. See, that's why I'm happy. I'm content in watching the people come together and do those things. And so, if you ever wonder why, you know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore, so maybe I've got enough wisdom to know that if I got out there jumping around, I'd probably pay for it for the rest of the week. So, but I want you to know that I love this group, and I see your love for each other. And you know what? Most churches don't have that.
That's right.
But I want to tell you something. What knits us together as a group, first and foremost, has got to be the Lord.
Yes.
Our friendship, just on a natural basis, our friendship to be able to play ball together or fellowship, whatever, that won't do it. It's got to be God first. It's kneeling together of the word of birds of a like feather, right? They hang together. And that's what it has to be. The reason why we're together, first and foremost, is the word of God. And that's what your ministry in this church endeavors to keep your eyes upon that word. I don't care what the rest of the world does. I know that heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. And if the ministry here can keep you on that word, you'll be fine. Amen. But Satan don't like it. Right? We know he will try, as Brother Daniel started out this morning, we know that Satan likes to get in and try to drive division. I don't know of any. I'm not trying to say that. You know, I'm just saying. So we want to honor and cherish and protect and keep that before the Lord. Keep it covered by the word.
Yes.
Keep it covered by the word, and God will permit you to continue on in the kind of fellowship that you have with each other. Amen. Did you enjoy what you heard this morning?
Amen.
Amen. I did too. I told you Brother Daniel's got a lot of enthusiasm. Amen. And there's a lot of people who have enthusiasm, but you don't find very many of us got enthusiasm and truth. Right? There's a difference. Amen. God bless you.